Okay. Good morning. Today's daf is daf chavav in Zvachim, second parak of Zvachim. We're in the middle, and we are not only in the middle of the second parak, but we're in the middle of a sugya as well. We started yesterday the discussion about airspace of a kli. Right, I mentioned to you yesterday that in Gittin we talk about airspace of property. In Shabbos we talk about airspace of property. The Gemara here has a discussion of airspace of a kli. Why do we get onto this discussion? What interest do we have now in airspace of a kli in the middle of Zvachim, in the middle of the second practice of Zvachim? So the Gemara says because we have this halacha that we established in yesterday's Mishnah on Chaf Amud Aleph that when you shech the animal, so the Kabbalas Adam, which is the second avoda, which is really the it's the second avoda, but it's really the first avoda because shechita can be done by non kohen. So you're talking about now the first avoda that has to be done by a kohen. So the basic requirement of kabbalas adam is that the blood has to go directly from the animal into the mizrach, into the bowl, and there can be no separation whatsoever. So it can't go on the floor. We learned in the Mishnah, can't go on the floor and into the bowl. It can't go from the knife into the bowl. It's got to go directly from the animal into the bowl. And so part of that discussion of going directly from the animal into the bowl is that what about the airspace? The airspace above the bowl, directly above the bowl, is that considered like the bowl? Or is that not considered like the bowl? So this is the discussion that we started with yesterday. The discussion starts on the very bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph. So we started the discussion yesterday and we moved into the first stage of the discussion. The discussion will end towards the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis, and then the Gemara move on to other topics for today. Okay, so let's just reset ourselves in terms of the discussion, so we could just finish off this sugya. The question was it wasn't a question; it was a halacha proposed by Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. He says that when you shech the vridim, the carotid vein, the carotid arteries have to be basically plunged into the kli. Rashi points out yesterday, we saw the Rashi together, doesn't mean that you're going to rip the carotid arteries and put it directly into the kli. It just simply means that if here's your kli, here's my kli, I'll give new definition to my coffee this morning, here's my kli. So in other words, I have to basically hover the neck of the animal over the cup so that it's over the airspace. Good? That's the halacha that we said yesterday, and Rav Yochanan says that it has to be over the airspace of the kli. Okay, question the Gemara dealt with in having this discussion of airspace was the following question. What if the bottom of the kli fell out before it actually enters into the direct airspace of the kli? In other words, so, right, I shech the animal, right after I shech the animal, before, if we could just freeze frame that moment, before the blood starts coming out, the bottom of the kli comes out, and now the blood's going to go in, and the blood, of course, is just going to drop right all the way through. Is that considered like it went into the kli? This is what the Gemara referred to as Ein Sof HaLanuach. It's not going to rest on the bottom of the kli. Is that considered like it hit the airspace? If it is, that's good, because as we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, if it goes into the kli and then spills on the floor, that's not a big deal. You just simply go over there, scoop up the blood, and put it back into the bowl. So this is the question the Gemara asked yesterday, and the Gemara proposed an answer from an interesting place, right? Left field, if you will, and that is the water for the Paraduma. We know there's a brisa regarding the water of the Paraduma that it has to be Maim Chaim. It has to be water that's collected from a spring. You cannot collect the water into a bowl and then put it into your utensil, which you've designated as your kli. It has to be Maim Chaim. It has to be live water, live spring water. The Braisa yesterday discussed the following scenario. If water was coming down off a mountain and going to go into a utensil which really you didn't designate for your keli, for your vessel. And then what you did is that before it enters into the, I'm sorry, after it enters into the airspace of the kli, you redirect it. So the Braisa says that's no good. In other words, once it enters into the airspace of the kli, it loses its chiyus, it loses its life, so to say. And that's no good. Okay? So the Gemara says, oh, so you see from there, the Gemara yesterday said, what are you talking about? In other words, that's talking about a case where there's a bottom. In other words, that vessel underneath the running water already has a bottom. We're addressing the question of a bottomless vessel, and you're offering me an answer about a vessel with a bottom. And the Gemara to that said, you know what? The question was really a twofold question. 100% agreed. The first question was, what's the story with a bottomless vessel? And then the Gemara says, okay, I don't know the answer to that, but then let me ask you a second question. What if the vessel does have a bottom to it? Well, how do we consider the airspace? At least we know the answer to that question. If the vessel has a bottom, the airspace, anything above that is considered like the vessel itself. Good. That's what we saw yesterday, and that's what we got up to in the Gemara. Rav Yosef Masni Hachi is where we are in the Gemara, which is Rav Yosef's version of the discussion. Good. Okay. Rav Kahana Masni Chavis. I'm sorry. Rav Yosef Masni Hachi. Rav Kahana Masni Chavis by Mine Upashale Chavis. Rav Kahana had a slightly different version of how this give and take went. He was actually asking about Chavis, meaning, according to Rav Kahana, he didn't know about the Braisa. He didn't even know about the about this halacha of Chavis. He never heard about the Braisa. And the answer was, let me teach you a Braisa. And he told him about the Braisa of Chavis. Rabba Masni Chavis by Mine. Rabbah has a slightly different version of how this discussion went. Upashatle Mizrak. The question was a question of Chavis, and the answer was Mizrak, right? Iyatamode be Mizrak Shiyashala below Zinuk. Interesting. What happened was he was asking the question about Chavis, essentially the basic question of how do we view airspace of a Kli? And he says, oh, I know the answer to that. The answer to that is Kabbalah Sadah. Right, the receiving of the blood. Why? He says, look, because what do we know by Kabbalah Sadam? We know that when you shecht an animal, the blood has to go directly from the animal into the bowl. Okay, now, what's going to happen is that it doesn't go directly from the animal into the bowl. What happens is you're not holding the neck into the bowl. The neck is being placed somewhere above the bowl, and it goes from the neck into the airspace of the kli, into the kli. You could have made the argument, you know, airspace, that's something else. That's something, that's a... Let's call it a hefsek, right? That's an interruption. We don't say that, obviously. In other words, clearly, the halacha acknowledges that it's going to go from the neck into the airspace into the bowl. So what's the conclusion? What do you see from Kabbalah Sadam? Airspace is considered like the bowl. So the Gemara says same thing over here. In the question of Chavitz, in the question of the barrel, where the water is flowing down from the mountain and it's going to go into the barrel, once it hits the airspace of the barrel, it's like it went into the barrel. Period. That is the end of the first part of the discussion. Okay, good. So the conclusion here is very simple, meaning different versions of what the question was, what the answer was, the conclusion is very straightforward. Airspace of a vessel is like a vessel, right? Avir kikli kikli, right? That's really the conclusion of this whole discussion. And that is going to help us and hurt us, right? In the case of Kabbalah's Dam, in the case of receiving the blood, it helps us. Because essentially what you're saying is that as long as I'm holding the vridim, I'm holding the arteries over the bowl, it's going directly from the animal into the bowl. What about the airspace? Airspace is part of the bowl. That's where it helps us. Where does it hurt us? In the case of the Mayim Chayim. In the case of where I'm collecting the water for the Parah Aduma. Because there, if it goes into the barrel, that's no good anymore. It loses its life. What if it goes over the airspace of the barrel? That's also no good. Okay, so this concept of avir clear kikli, the Gemara's conclusion is very straightforward. It's like airspace of a vessel is like the vessel itself, both lechumra and lekula, right? In either direction.
Does the airspace, according to your understanding, start exactly where the rim of the vessel is?
Yeah. In other words, we're going to draw an imaginary line straight up from the rim.
Anywhere above
is going to be considered airspace. I'm not talking about, if I wasn't clear, I apologize. I'm not talking about the area in the bowl. We're talking about the area above, right? That's the top Rashi on the page pretty much says that. In other words, you're not taking your vridim and you're not grabbing the artery and putting it into the bowl. You're just simply putting it above, and it's going to go spurt out of there. And the point is that airspace, anywhere above the rim, is considered like in the bowl itself.
Absolutely.
Right. To give you a bad sports analogy, again, right, it's in basketball, if you interfere with the basketball while it's over the rim, so that's goaltending.
Goal.
Okay.
Goal.
Goaltending.
Goaltending. I mean, really, really useless information. But I'm just saying it gives you a...
And a Russian prince, man.
Yeah, I know.
Up to where? How far that do have? This airspace, how far does it go up?
So the Gemara doesn't give a limit. So then we assume that, I mean, if the Gemara's not giving a limit, I guess we assume it goes all the way up. In a Rishus HaYachid, right, and I know this is not the greatest analogy, but at least I'm comparing it to another area of Torah and not to the National Basketball Association. So it's better. But in Rishus HaYachid, right, we do say that the Rishus HaYachid airspace goes up ad infinitum.
Right.
There is no limit. So when I have an established Rishus HaYachid on Shabbos, it just goes all the way up into Lamala. Tumah, another area in Halacha where it goes up. Also, same thing. It goes up ad infinitum. This concept of airspace of a kli, I'm going to assume, because the Gemara doesn't say otherwise, also goes up ad infinitum, but, you know, I don't know. It's an assumption.
The kli has to have a bottom, though.
The kli has to have a bottom, right. That question, which the Gemara raised on top, which was like a really sophisticated question, right? In other words, you shecht it, and there's no bottom to the kli, and it goes through, right? There, the Gemara kind of just left. That question the Gemara left, but that's a very sophisticated question. Meaning, that's not as practical as, you know, the other two examples which the Gemara gives, which is just very real examples of airspace.
When the coin is doing a shechtet, one coin per animal.
Yeah, the assumption is one coin.
So that it's from a practical point, we didn't understand a large animal.
Right.
Make the cut to hold the
clean. Oh, and I'm sorry.
Sure,
right. There was one, generally speaking, there was one coin to shecht and another coin to do Kabbalah, to do the receiving of the blood. That was normally was done. The trick is on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol did both, he shechted and he did the Kabbalah Saddam. So the Mishnah in Yuma describes the language of the Mishnah over there is kartso, right? That's it, right? Kirtso. So, right, so that's the Kohen Gadol's got to do some fancy footwork, but that's unusual. That's the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. But usually, it's done by two. One Kohen would be shechting, and the other Kohen would be holding the ball.
He has to do it with the right hand, so how does he do that?
Right, correct. In other words, by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, right, excellent question. So it was fancy footwork. He didn't shech the entire animal. He shechted only the majority of the pipes, and then quickly grabbed the bowl and... He did it. I'll say I wasn't there, so I can't give you an eyewitness account.
Did he actually put the bowl under the animal?
Right. Well, you're describing now the Kohen Gadol. Right, but the bowl's not on the floor though. The bowl's held in the hand.
It's the bowl of the animal supposed to bring the animal to the bowl.
Right. Okay. Tanan Hassan, we're almost finished. We're just a little bit more to go in this discussion of airspace. Once again, we're going to turn back to the halachas of Mayim Chayim by Paraduma. Okay? So, again, it's an unusual source of discussion because, you know, we're talking about blood coming streaming out of the neck of an animal, but still in concept, it's basically the same idea, is that you need to collect the water by the Mayim Chaim. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah over there. You redirecting the water into your designated keli. If you redirect the water using your hand, your foot, vegetables, like a leaf, right? So the water redirects, that's no good. That's not good. You'll understand why in just a moment. Ale kanem, ale egozim, kshera. If I use leaves of a reed, leaves of a nut, kshera, that's going to be fine. Zakla, davar makabal tuma psulim, davar shena makabal tuma ksherim. If I'm redirecting the water, which is something which could be makabal tuma, that's it. Meaning, I took the life out of the water. Right, it's my own terminology. It's not, take it for what it's worth. It's my own terminology. But if I redirect it with something that's not mekabel tuma, so the water still remains mayim chayim, it still remains live water. So the Gemara says, first of all, where does this come from, this concept? I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yossi Bar Abba, I'm a Kra, Ach Mayanu Vor Mikveh, Mayim Yeh Tahor, Hev Yasan Al Yidei Tahara Tehei. That it's being, meaning as long as it has been manipulated by something which is tahor, something that's not susceptible to tumah, so then the water still remains what it was. In the case of Mayim Chaim, it remains Mayim Chaim. In the case of a mikvah, it remains a mikvah. Good. Okay? So, it's a Mishnah in Parah, and the Mishnah tells us that if water is redirected, as long as you're redirecting it with an object that's not mekabel tumah, so your hand is mekabel tumah, right? Your hand could become tumah. Your foot is mekabel tumah, so those things are no good. The other example was food. Food is mekabel tumah. So that's all those examples are no good because they're mekabel tumah, and therefore, once redirected with something that's mekabel tumah, you've taken the life out of the water. It's no longer mayim chayim. However, if you redirect it with something that's not mekabel tumah, like shells, shell nuts, it's not a food. It's not mekabel tumah. So then the water still is mayim chayim. Period. Okay, that's the Mishnah with a source behind the Mishnah. Why are we learning this Mishnah now? So the Gemara explains, Am Rabbi Chiya, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Zos Omeres, Avir Kli Kekli Dami. We're learning this Mishnah because we want to show you the halacha of Avir Kli Kekli Dami, because we've been having now a discussion, started yesterday, ending in just a moment, about the airspace of a Kli. You see from this Mishnah that the airspace of a Kli is considered like a Kli. How did you see that? Right? Where are we talking about? He's making an assumption that the redirection of the water was done above the kli, and still that's okay. That's considered acceptable.
What is redirection? How is the direction?
Meaning it's the water's coming down from a stream, and what you want to do is you want to divert the water so you can collect it in your utensil, and you'll bring it to your paraduma.
How would you do it with the tumah?
So you can't redirect it with your hand. Because your hand's mekabel tumah.
So and if the water is still flowing, the water after...
I mean, it would have been...
The hand is
if I could, by the way, the best thing to do is just take the clean, put it right under the running water. That would be the best. But whatever, the Mishnah is telling us that if there's a scenario where I need to redirect the water, it's possible, just I have to use something that's not mekabel tumah.
So any water downstream, the hand is as tumah already.
No, right, not tame, but it's not mayim chayim anymore. Right. It's not live water, right? And that's not natural spring water anymore. Correct. It has to be totally natural, total free flowing water. So the Gemara says, okay, so you see from here, avir kli kekli dami. So Amalei Rabbi Zeir Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba V'Dilma B'Shoseis. So he says, you're making an assumption that that's talking about where after you redirected it, it then went into the airspace and then went into the kli, and you wanted to conclude from there that airspace is like the kli. How do you know? Maybe your redirection is where it's already interior to the kli. Maybe that's what we're talking about. So Amalei Tarda. He says to him, no. And I'm being nice, by the way, in the way I'm translating the Gemara. Right? Tarda Rashi Shota Bahul. Right? In the context of Torah and striving for the truth, sometimes they speak to one another in a somewhat sharp and indelicate way. Okay? So he called them an imbecile. I'll tell you what, Rashi's pshat is a little nicer than the one found on the side of the Gemara. Right, on the side of the Gemara, he quotes the Aruch says, Taragars Tarara, right, it's not Reish Tuf Reish Dalet Aleph, it's Tuf Reish Aleph, according to the Aruch, Uperish Shotem Morid Rear, you drooling, insane person. Okay, again, the point is that he disagreed. Okay, the exact definition of how he, the choice of words, okay, anyway, so Tarda Kadeshi Avra Mayim L'Chavis Tanan. He says, no, because let's go back to our Braisa that we mentioned up above. I'm sorry. No, let's talk. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Go back to the Mishnah, right? Now, I guess you could use the same word for me. Go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kedei Shiyavru Mayim. You're re-diverting the water. We're not talking about where the diversion takes place in the Kli. In other words, you're holding the Kli underneath, and you're re-diverting the water, and the water now goes from the stream to the airspace of the Kli into the Kli. And what am I telling you? I'm telling you that the airspace of a Kli is like a Kli. And then just one clerical note, this is like real accounting, and that is that this Mishnah was taught by the Mishnayos of Rabbi Tzadok. Ditnan, Heid Rabbi Tzadok, Al Hazokhlin, is the Mishnah in Adios. Adios is that Masechta that we skipped at the end of Seder Nezikin, right? And one of the reasons why is because there's no Gemara on the Mishnah and Adios, and the Mishnah and Adios tells us that this is a duso shel Rabbi Tzadok ala zochlin shekilcham ba'alei gozin shein ksherin zayamaisa be'ohal ya uva'amaisa lefnei chachamim belishkas agazis v'hichshiro, and they said that it's kasher. Good. So you see over here that this is learned from the Mishnayos of Rabbi Tzadok. It's a clerical note, and the Mishnah does that because the Mishnah always wants to make sure that we know, say it b'shem Omro, who is the one who taught us this halacha. Good. Okay, just give me a moment. That's the end of that sugya. And the sugya's conclusion is very clear, that avir kli, that the airspace of a kli is in fact like the kli. That is the very solid conclusion of the Gemara. Okay.
This question is, if you have the kli, and in the kli there is a source of tuma that goes up, like the worst piece, like a piece of coal,
right?
And then there's another kli next to it, and the water goes above to the kli that you want it to go.
Right.
Since it went through this, this is not Mayim Chaim anymore.
Is that Mayim Chaim?
The kli also has the same. Just because it went through the airspace and ended up to the right place.
Do not know. Okay. I don't know. Okay. Okay. Good. Moving on. Okay. New discussion of the Gemara. The Gemara starts off like this. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi, Amar Rabbi. Rabbi Zera quotes in the name of Rabbi. Hatzom ozen ha'par ve'acharkach kibol damo pasal. You put a groove in the ear of the bull, and then afterwards you makabel dam. So that's pasal. Shenemar v'lakach midam ha'par parsha yakvar, parsha yakvar. Okay. Essentially, what the Gemara is now saying is like this. All right. Let me. I'm sorry. I should have given this a little bit of introduction. We know that an animal, a carbon, cannot be a blemished animal, right? It has to be a tamim. It has to be a perfect animal, physically perfect animal. We'll go to the Bechoros, and we'll learn over there what is a physical disqualification, what is not a physical disqualification, right? And so as a carbon, the animal has to be an unblemished animal, right? Good. If it's a blemished animal, then it becomes possible, becomes disqualified, cannot be brought as a carbon. Good. The Gemara now is going to discuss the following. To what degree does it have to be unblemished? How far into the avoda do we go where the animal has to remain unblemished? So the Gemara tells us like this. Rabbi Zera quotes in the name of Rabbi that if your tzorim ozen apar, if you put a cut in the ear of an animal, in this case we're talking about the bull, right? Could be any carbon. We'll talk about which carbon is in just a moment. But if you put a nick, a cut, in the ear of a bull, which would have rendered it a mum, which would have rendered a blemish, and you do it after you shechted the animal, and then after that you mekabel dam, you accept the blood, pasul, it is no good. Okay, and that's a huge chiddush, right? I hope I am articulating what the chiddush is over here. You put the blemish in after you shechted the animal. Now, we all understand that when you shech the animal, that's a pretty big blemish, right? You've just cut the neck of the animal. But shechita is part of the process. Obviously, shechita is not going to be called a mum. We're not going to call it a mum because shechita is part of the process. But the point is that if you have defected, physically defected the animal after shechting, but before receiving the blood, that's no good. The animal has to be still in the state of being an unblemished animal, even through Kabbalah Saddam. Okay, fine. How do I know that? So he bases it on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'lakach midam hapar, par shayakvar. You accept it from the bull, meaning that it still has to be that state of an unblemished animal, even after you shechted it. Ashkechan kachi kachim kachi kalamin alam. Good, the Gemara says, I know that's true by kachi kachim because the pasuk we just quoted was regarding the chatas. And the chatas is kachi kachim. How do I know the same halach is true by kachim kalam as well? Amarava tanya, se tamim zachar ben shana, shi tamim u ven shana, b'sha shchita b'kabal, I'm sorry, b'sha shchita. It has to be, this is describing the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach, of course, is shlamim. It's a type of shlamim. It's kachim kalim. The pasuk says it has to be set tamim. It has to be an unblemished animal, male, a year old, meaning within the first year of its life, and she ate tamim ben shana b'sha shchita. It has to be a tamim at the time of shchita. B'kabbalah b'holacha b'zrika minayin. How do I know that it has to continue being an unblemished animal through the next three avodas as well? Tamar lamer yihye. It will be kol havyaso lo yu ela tam uven shana. While it's during its entire havaya, during its entire process of shechting, kabbalah sadam, holach and zrika, the animal has to be continue to be an unblemished animal. Eisvei Abaye says, "I'm going to challenge you based on the following brisa." A Rabbi Yoshua Amar calls Vachim Shabbatur Shnishai Mehem Kazayis Pasuk Kazayis Chelav Zarek Esadam. That if you have a carbon, as long as you have remaining a kizayis basar or kizayis chaylev, so then you could do zrika, then you could sprinkle the blood. How do you understand that? Meaning, what do you mean? All you have left is a kizayis chaylev or kizayis basar? That's all you need? Aren't we saying now that you need the animal to be in its pristine state, totally unblemished, and you're talking now about what's it called? Having just a volume of olive of the animal? So tirgama aben shana. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're right. We'll take that point into consideration. And the requirement of it being in its state, in its pristine state, is only going on it being a year old. Okay. Now, do you understand what the Gemara is saying now? Because the Gemara is saying is very funny, very odd. Right, the Gemara is saying that you're right. There is this pasuk regarding the Karban Pesach that it has to be behev yaso. It has to be in its state, and we've ruled out that we're not talking about the animal has to be not blemished. That's not what we're talking about. In its state means that it has to be still within its year of life. Okay, what we're saying now, what we're clearly saying, is that after you shech the animal before Kabbalah Saddam, the animal has to still be within a year old. Okay. How is the animal, in other words, you understand, the animal is going to go from year one to year two between Shechita and Kabbalah Saddam, right? It's celebrating a birthday after you Shechita, before you had Kabbalah Saddam. How did that happen? So the Gemara asks exactly this question. That's a neat trick. That after you Shech the animal, but before you get on to the next avodas, the animal is going to go from 1 year of age to 2 years of age. Remember, when we say an animal is 1 year old, it means it's within its first year of life. When we say an animal is 2 years old, it means it's within its second year of life. But how did it celebrate a birthday between Shechita and Kabbalah Saddam? How did that happen? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava Zos Amar Shalos Posels Bekachim." So Rava says, "Yeah, yes, it happens." Meaning that we assume that it celebrates a birthday on a certain day, right? Which in halacha, by the way, that's normally how we assume. Meaning that when we look at a bar mitzvah boy, we don't look at what hour he's born. That's not how it works. When we look at a bar mitzvah boy, we say, you were born on this day, 13 years from now, as he's entering into his 14th year of life, right? So, right, it's Shlosha Shreshanim Yom Echad. So he's considered now a gadol. It's considered now to be.
So if he's born at 5 p.m., he can lay in at 12.
Right, right. We don't exactly. In other words, we don't look at hours. The Gemara says that's true. That's by a boy. However, when it comes to an animal, shows pasul pekachim. We actually do look at the hour. So in other words, it is possible, theoretically, practically, I don't know, but it's possible that the animal will turn its year between the Shechita and the Kabbalah Saddam. And the Gemara says, and that's what Hev Yasto teaches us, that it cannot be a year, it can't enter its second year, even after the Shechita. Okay, good. All right. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Lazar. Okay, next discussion. Good. So, the...
I'm suggesting life still exists.
It suggests what?
Life is still
exists.
No. I mean, I'm being quick in my response. I shouldn't be so quick. But the Gemara is assuming that no, life does not exist. It's just that even while you're doing the other avodas, we're still going to, so to say, put it on the clock. Even though it's no longer, I don't think the Gemara is entertaining the idea that it's alive, it's just that it's it, that Ben Shana requirement continues even during the Kabbalah Saddam and the Zrika. It is strange. It's a strange concept.
But you're saying, it's still aging after the Shechita.
The blemish must
right.
go through. It's going through the whole four avodas.
Right. Correct.
It's staying within the whole
four. Correct.
But the premise is that the animal is aging after
Shechita. Right. The aging process continues even after Shechita, although the animal's not alive. I wouldn't say it that way. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Lazar. He bifnim v'ragla b'chutz. Okay, now next discussion of the Gemara. A lot of interesting discussions of the Gemara today. Okay, airspace is like airspace. Okay, a blemish on the animal after you shech the animal. Okay, next discussion of the Gemara.
Is that to point out Zerika?
Huh?
Up to point out Zerika, the animal is still aging?
It's still aging, right. Up to Zerika. After Zerika, that's it. We don't care anymore. Next discussion of the Gemara is the... is a question of Yotzei. Again, let me just give the background, and then we'll go into the Gemara's discussion. When I shech the karban, so obviously what we know is that you have to collect the blood and sprinkle on the mizbeach, right? That blood has to remain in the azara. Let's talk right now about a kachim, okay? Because the entire animal has to remain in the azara. Chatas asham karban ola. The blood has to remain in the azara. If the blood is taken out of the azara, done, disqualified, no good. That's called the psul yotzei. Once it has left the wall, the airspace, the walls of the azara, the temple courtyard, that's the box over there, the right box on the wall, so then it is psul. It's absolutely disqualified. Okay? That's a given. Now that that's a given, the Gemara is going to entertain the following question. I'm going to first explain the question outside the Gemara, and then we're going to see it inside the Gemara. I don't know which way it's going to be better. Either way, you got to walk in with a lot of assumptions. The Gemara's question is going to be like this: when you shech the animal, so again, you have to shech the animal. The animal has to be inside the azara. What if you shech the animal and one of the legs of the animal, or for that matter, any limb? But let's just deal with an extremity, a simple extremity of the leg. What if that leg is outside the azara? Okay, which then means, okay, follow me please, that the blood that's circulating in that leg is going to be outside the azara. And what essentially now is happening is that as you sit there with the bowl collecting the blood, some of the blood that you collected, right, which when you shechted it, was outside the azara because of that limb that was outside the azara. And what bothers the question the Gemara is going to deal with is do we consider that blood that was circulating through that leg, which the Gemara is assuming, and I know I have two cardiologists to my right now, and I'm a little nervous as I'm about to say this, but the Gemara is now assuming that that blood that's circulating through the legs will then continue to circulate through the entire body of the animal up to the carotid and out into the bowl. And some of that blood, not all of it, most of the blood's fine, but some of the blood now has come from outside the azara. Okay, this will be the Gemara's question. Okay, if you liked it outside the Gemara, you're going to love the question inside the Gemara.
So how happens if the heart stops pumping?
Okay, I told you, I'm nervous.
When they do it with Safon, how could they be outside the azara? Am I supposed to do the Shechita with Safon?
Yes. Okay. So we are... There's a door here. It's not that. Meaning, there are entrances over here. So you could be to the south and you could be to the north. And this doorway over here, so the leg of the animal could be extending over here.
Can you even be to the... It's not a three-way machlokas as to what south on
is. Right, and also correct. In other words, you could be north of the Mizbeach and still...
Right.
Let's just shift the Mizbeach down a little bit over here. And be at that entrance over there. Okay. All right. Now, by the way, I'm going to show you Tosus in just a moment. Tosus is bothered by a very simple question throughout all this entire discussion. That's only some of the blood, meaning most of the blood is fine. Okay. So I'll show you Tosus in a moment. Tosus is bothered by that question, the question of Rov. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Ami, last line on Chafei Amad Beis. Let's go. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Lazar. He bifnim v'ragleha b'chutz. The animal is primarily inside the Azara. One of the legs is outside the Azara. Chatach v'acharkach shachat. Kshera. If you cut the leg and then you shech the animal, that's fine. Shachat v'acharkach chatach psula. But if you shech the animal and then you cut the leg, so then it's going to be pasul. The Gemara says, what? What? Chatach v'acharkach shachat kshera ba'mum kamakrev. I don't understand. You cut the leg of the animal and then you shech the animal? We know, we've just been talking about it in the previous sugya, in the Gemara, the animal has to be a non-blemished animal. And here, you're blemishing the animal even before you shecht it? That doesn't make any sense. Ba'mum kamakrev, ela'ema. So the Gemara says, okay, clear, and let's try this again. Chatach ve'acharkach kibel kshera. If you cut the leg, and afterward you do Kabbalah Saddam, good. Kibel ve'acharkach chatach. But if you collect the blood and afterward you cut off the leg, psula. Chatach, so the Gemara says, again, what? Chatach ve'acharkach kibel kshera. What do you mean? You, in other words, you shechted the animal. And then I cut the leg that was outside, right? That leg that was hanging out outside. We just learned in the previous sugya that's also no good. You can't place a blemish on the animal even after you shech the animal. So the Gemara says, so how do you even understand that? So again, just we're resetting. We're trying to get a hold of this halacha. Amrav Chista, Amrav Yimei, Chotech Be'ever Asha Magia La'etzem. So the Gemara says, we're going to cut it in a way where it doesn't render the animal to be a blemished animal. Meaning we'll cut the leg up to the bone, but we're not cutting off the leg. Now, I know, okay, the part of the Gemara which I'm not going to ignore it, I'm just going to go over it, I'm going to leap over it, is that somehow cutting the leg up to the bone doesn't render the animal a blemished animal. I don't fully understand that. Okay, I'm making a full recognition. But I'm just going to go over that point because it's not the main part of the Gemara. The main part of the Gemara right now is this idea which I introduced, which is we don't want that blood. We don't want the blood of that leg because the blood of that leg was outside of the Azara.
So you're doing this intentionally. You're cutting the leg.
So what I'm doing now intentionally is that after I shech the animal, I realized that there was a leg outside. I don't want the blood of that leg. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to not amputate, right? The Gemara says not amputate. Sever that leg from the rest of the animal so I don't get that blood. Because that blood is puzzle blood. Yotzei blood, and I don't want that blood. Okay, so where do I go first? So let's go to Tosfos first. Shachar v'acharka chatach psula didam pasul eino batal berov k'demuchach beperek taravis. So Tosfos over here is bothered by the question, which really should bother all of us. It's such a basic question. Tosfos says, without formulating it as a question, but just simply saying it as a statement, don't bother me with rov over here. Rov doesn't become a factor. Meaning, let me articulate the question again. What are we dealing with? An animal that is primarily inside the Azara. The leg is outside the Azara. The blood in that leg is psul, is disqualified because it was yotzei because it left the animal. And meanwhile, so now as I'm collecting all the blood from the neck of the animal, some of the blood that's coming out of the neck is coming from the leg, and that's psul yotzei. So what bothers Tosfos is, I don't understand, right? Most of the blood's fine.
Yeah, but it's min b'mi.
Okay, so Tosfos writes in this very short Tosfos, the dam pasulain about the barav, the muchach beperkat harovis, the gazrin and zera b'mikdash. So Tosfos writes, it's a very cryptic Tosfos. He writes that, well, in theory it would be true that we would say rov, but gazrin and zera b'mikdash. There is a general decree in the Beis HaMikdash that we don't subscribe to rov. Okay, it's interesting because usually in the Beis HaMikdash, we shy away from derabbanans. We shy away from gzerot. And meanwhile, Tosafot over here is writing that in this circumstance, we, as a gzerot derabbanan, even though rov would have worked, the chachamim inhibited rov. Right? We find very often that the chachamim stepped in and stopped rov from transpiring. Right? Blocking rov, if you will. Right? An inhibitor. But Tosafot does not explain why over here there's such a gzera where we inhibit rov. Maybe when we get to the Gemara later on, and I test the Gemara, what Tosafot is quoting, maybe we'll understand this concept a little bit better. Okay, so that's just a general discussion. Yes?
There's no concept of tzad balei chayim?
No, first of all, the animal's already shechted. The animal's already shechted. So, and also in general, whenever we're dealing with karbanos and shechting, right? In other words, tzad balei chayim is needless pain to the animal. But if there's a point, and even if the point is a mitzvah, but if there's a point, we generally don't use the concept of tzad balei chayim. Okay. All right. Well, let's try to finish this up. Now, kibo v'achar kach psula shema mina dama muv labeivarim damu. So the Gemara says, look, what you're telling me, meaning aside from the fact that I'm right purposely right now ignoring my two cardiologists to my right, which generally speaking that's what Jews do, they ignore the cardiologists. So the as a general rule. So I right, whether or not the blood comes from the limb and out through the neck after shechita, so the Gemara is assuming it, so I'm gonna assume it. Okay? Despite what my cardiologist may say over here. But what the Gemara is saying is this is dam evarim, this is blood of a limb. And there's a general debate whether or not blood contained in the limb has the legal status of blood. So this whole question is assuming it does. And the Gemara says, and you know that's a machlokas. So the Gemara says, how do you process that? In other words, if you know that the blood contained in limbs is, whether it is or it isn't blood, is subject to a machlokas, and your whole question here is predicated on the fact that it is dam, right? You're making an assumption. So the Gemara says, Dilma Mishum Shamnunis. So the Gemara says, well, okay, you know what? Maybe over here it's not the blood so much per se that I'm worried about, but it's the fat, right? It's the grease of the animal that is going together with the blood, and maybe that shamnunis, which is a psul yotze, which is disqualified because it left the mizbech, maybe that's what we're concerned with. Okay. Shmaminas basar kashim kalim shiatzlof nezrikas dam pasul. So the Gemara says another issue which you need to take into consideration. This question that you're asking. You know, we asked in general that the blood of a carbon that leaves the azara is disqualified, right? Is that true by kashim kalim? Meaning shlamim, right? Shlamim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. So the truth of the matter is that the boundaries of a carbon shlamim is not the Azara, but the boundaries of a shlamim is anywhere in Yerushalayim. So, and the Gemara is going to ask this question later on in the Masechta. What if the blood of a shlamim leaves the Azara? Is that disqualifying? And the Gemara says, look, by the fact that you're asking about a limb outside the Azara, it sounds like, again, you're taking a side on that issue, and you know that issue is subject to a debate. And the Gemara says, again, very simply, Dilma b'kachi kachim. The Gemara says, you're right. Maybe our question over here is only by kachi kachim, not by kachi kalim. Good. Tana Rabbanan, kachi kachim, shechitasam b'tzam v'kibol damam b'klisharis b'tzafon, b'tzafon. New discussion in the Gemara. We know that when you shecht an animal, so if it's kachik kachim, chatas asham an ola, so you have to be in the north, right? Right to the, look at the picture over there, north is of course down, right, in that picture. So you have to be to the north of the Mizbeach. What about east of the Mizbeach, west of the Mizbeach, northeast, northwest, subject to a debate. We already saw that debate once before, okay? Kachim kalam ashlamim, anywhere in the Azara. Doesn't have to be to the north of the Mizbeach. Can be anywhere in the Azara. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned on the Braisa. Kachim, kachim, shechitasam b'tzafon, b'kibol damam, b'kli sharet b'tzafon. Okay? It's got to be in the north. Amad b'darm v'hoshi yadol etzafon v'shachah shechitasam k'shera. What if you, the shechter, are standing in the south, but the animals in the north, check. That's okay. Kibol kabalaso psula. What if you're standing in the south and collecting the blood? No good. If the majority of your body is in the north, check. That's okay. After you check the animal, animal goes through some convulsions, basically flounders to the south side of the Mizbeach, that's fine. As long as when you checked if the animal was in the north, check. We're going to say over all these halachas for kachim kalim, but remember, it doesn't have to be in the north, it just has to be anywhere in the Azara. So basically, same discussion, but over here, different parameters, different boundaries. If you're standing outside the Azara, but the animal's inside the Azara, check. That's fine. Kibbul kabbalas psula. If you accept the blood while standing outside the Azara, no good. Hichnas rosh of rubo kila lo nichnas. If the majority of your body is inside the Azara, no good. You have to be standing inside the Azara in total. Pirchas of yatzal lechutz v'chazra psula. If the animal convulses and flounders after you shecht it outside the Azara, no good. Okay? Shma mina. Basar kashim kalim shiyatzal fnei zrikas damim psulim. So the Gemara says, what do you see over here? This question that we just asked a moment ago, the question of the meat of kachim kalim, the blood of kachim kalim, that leaves the Azara, you asked, good or no good? You said, I don't know. From this brisa, it seems pretty clear, no good. Because the brisa talks about the animal floundering after you shecht it and leaving the Azara, and the brisa taking a very clear position, no good. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, maybe it's talking about the parts of the animal that are designated to go on the Mizbeach. Rashi writes beautifully, Rashi writes very clearly, that those parts of the animal that are destined to go on the Mizbeach, even when they belong to Kachim Kalim, have the status of Kachi Kachim. Rashi, third line down, De'imurim ninhu. These are what's called the imurim. Parts of the animal that go on the Mizbeach. Ve'imuri kachim kalim, kachi kachim hein. Imurim of kachim kalim is kachi kachim. Okay. Ba'imine avu d'shmo me'shmo. He bifnim v'ragla b'chot maho. You're inside and the leg is outside. Okay, the animal has to be inside. What if the animal is suspended in air? Animal's not on the ground. It's in the Azara, but suspended in air. Amalek Shera. So his answer was, yeah, it's okay. It doesn't have to be on the ground. It can be suspended in air. And you ask me, an animal suspended in air? So after the performance I saw on Saturday night, I'd say sure. No problem at all. So Amar lay ishtabashta bina shchita yerech v'leika. No. He says you're wrong about that. Animal cannot be suspended in air, right? Simple cases where it was hoisted by pulleys. Right? No, it has to be on the floor. Nidle v'shacha mahu. What if the shochet is suspended in air? He, right? He's not on the ground. Amar lay psula. So the response he gives him is possible. Amar lay ishtabashta. No, you're wrong. It's not true. Shechita al yerech velo shochet al yerech. The shechita has to be on the northern side. The shochet himself does not have to be on the northern side. He does not have to make contact with the ground. Nidle v'kiba maho. What if you're suspended in air while doing the Kabbalah Saddam? So Amalek Sherish, he says, well, I think it's okay. Amalek Ishtabashta. He says, you're wrong about that. Ein derech Sherish bekach. No, that's not Sherish. In other words, Kabbalah Saddam is an avoda. Right, we didn't say this by Shechita because Shechita is not an avoda. Kabbalah Saddam is an avoda, so therefore you have to be standing on the floor. Tala v'kibel mahu. What if you suspend the animal and you do the Kabbalah while the animal is suspended? Amalei psuli says, oh, I know, the answer is that's puzzle. Amalei ishtabasha Shechita al yerech lo Kabbalah al yerech. When you shech, the animal has to be on the ground. When you do Kabbalah, the animal can be in the air. I'm 0 for 4, by the way. You notice that. 0 for 4. It was a bad day. So Amar Abaye Bekashi Kashim Kulam Psulas Bar Minitla Vashachat. So Abaye says, let's conclude. By Kachikashim, it's always going to be puzzle, except for when the Shechter, right, the guy Shechting, is suspended in the air, that's fine. However, Bekachim Kalim Kulam, chairs bar Minitla Vakibo. When it comes to Kachim Kalim, however, it's all going to be Kasha. Amar Rava. Rava says, what a distinction. Maishna Tala Vakibo Bekachim Kalim Dikshere Davir Panim Kipanim Dami Bekachim Kachim Nami Avir Safan Kitsafan Dami. I don't see a difference why you would distinguish between Kachikachim versus Kachim Kalim. El Amar Rava. It's always going to be kasher. Bar mintala vishachat bekashe kachim. However, when it comes to kashe kachim, the animal has to be on the floor because of this requirement of al yerech. Nila vekibal, and as far as Kabbalah Saddam is concerned, the mekabel, the one receiving the blood, has to be standing on the floor. Bein bekashe kachim, bein bekashe kalim, because that sherus bekach, because that's how you do sherus. One last question to finish off today. Bamine Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zera. Hu bifnim v'tzitziso b'chutz. He's inside, and his hair is flailing outside. The hair of the Kohen we're talking about. Now, first of all, tzitz, by the way, right when I first started the Gemara, I said we're talking about the tzitzis, meaning if tzitzis was flailing outside, Rashi says, no, we're talking about the hair. Second time in the Masechta, by the way, I'm bothered by the fact that Kohanim need a haircut every 30 days, and somehow we're describing this wild hair of the Kohen flailing. I guess their hair grew fast. I don't. And interestingly enough, the Gemara says unequivocally that's no good. No part of the coin can be outside of the azara. You need the entire coin inside the azara. Even hair, even strands of hair of the Kohen have to be inside the Azara. The totality of the Kohen must be inside the Azara. Good. Okay, obviously we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah, the bomb of the Amud.